Welcome to the October 8th, 2006 worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's sermon is presented by Reverend Raymond Smith as an entitled, Like a Little Child. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. It's a somber tone this morning. I don't know why. Oh, but it's good to be together at College Park Baptist Church. It's another day, and y'all have one more week where you can beat up old NC State. So, yeah, for Wake Forest fans, it could get better next week. It could get worse. We're glad you are here this morning. We welcome you to College Park Baptist Church. My name is Jeff Allen. I'm the Associate Pastor of Students and Families here, and we are glad that you are decided to join us for worship this morning. We want to make sure who was here. We have pew pads on every pew. We invite you to find those. They're on the inside aisle. We invite everyone in attendance to mark your name down. Members, we ask that you just put your name, change any information that you need to, and then check the appropriate boxes. Guests, we invite you to fill out all the information as you feel comfortable, and then send that down to the end of the pew. When it gets down there, if everybody's done, send it back to where it started so our ushers can pick that up a little bit later in the service. A reminder to our children, we are having children's celebration today. We will be leaving during hymn number 54. That's the second hymn during the worship service, Great is Thy Faithfulness. So as soon as that hymn begins, if the children will go follow me, we'll be headed to Smith Hall. And that parents, that's where you can pick up your children after the service. Reminder also to our preschool children and family committees, we have our FMT meeting this afternoon at 4 o'clock. There also looks to be a budget committee meeting and other things that are happening today. We invite you to look at the back of your bulletin to know about those important meetings. Regular schedule tonight, including our life service, which starts at 7 o'clock. Life is our contemporary service, which happens in Smith Hall, our fellowship hall, just right behind me to my right. And we invite you to come and be a part of that service every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. Regular Wednesday schedule as well. All of these are listed in your bulletin. I want to recognize Ron Caldwell.
Good morning. Today we are beginning to accept nominations for deacon to be elected, and there are forms like these around the church at different places right beside the ballot boxes. There's one on either side of the sanctuary as you go out. There's one at the Welcome Center, and there's a few more. I don't remember exactly where they are, but the boxes, they're white boxes, and they have these forms, and the forms explain what the qualifications of a deacon are. They give the procedure where hopefully if you have someone you want to nominate, the best procedure is to check with that person and see if they are willing to serve. And then it suggests that you sign the form and say that you have talked with the person and confirm that they are willing to serve. And there's also a list of the people who are currently serving as deacons who, of course, are not eligible to be nominated, and those who have rotated off who are not eligible. So you may pick up these forms beside the ballot boxes, and please prayerfully consider this process and help us as we seek to nominate deacons for our next year. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Several other announcements we'll make. Basketball teams are starting up. In October the 17th will be the first practice for our youth teams. We have a 7th to 12th grade ladies team, a 7th to 9th grade guys team, and a 10th to 12th grade guys team, as well as a junior co-ed for our 4th through 6th graders. So there is a team for everybody. If you have great experience or no experience, we love playing basketball and want you to be a part of that. So pay attention to those upcoming schedules. You guys have done a great job with our prayer partner ministry. We have just about every student in our church who has an adult prayer partner. I would like to give you guys who are prayer partners some more information about your partner, but I need to know who you are. I've got about 75% of you have signed the sheet telling me which prayer partner you have. One of those sheets is just outside the Welcome Center. So if you could make sure to check that list and tell me who you are, and to finish that up, that would be great. We appreciate you helping us out with that. I want to recognize Raymond for an announcement.
Wanted to give you an announcement about the memorial service, the funeral arrangements for Lucille Cashwell. The service will be tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock here in the sanctuary. And a time of visitation will be an hour preceding that. It will be at 10 o'clock in Smith Hall. Family will be receiving friends there and guests there. So if you'd like to come by and speak, you can do that at 10 o'clock and then stay for the service at 11 o'clock here in the sanctuary. In preparation for this service, Mary's asked me to announce that she would like to meet with the Grace Notes for just a moment at the conclusion of the service here at the front of the sanctuary. So if you could, you want to go at the front of the sanctuary? Okay. Here at the front of the sanctuary, shouldn't take but just a minute. So if you would please, after the benediction, the response, if you would meet with her just for a moment. Thank you.
Well, you've heard a little bit about what's going on in the life of our church. We want to give our guests this morning a little bit more information. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. You've already given us your information in the pew pads. But we have a packet of information we would like to give to you. Inside this packet tells you about things that are going on in the life of our church. So we invite you just to raise your hand if you're a guest this morning. We want you to know that you are a valued guest here, and we appreciate you being here, and we hope that this information will let you know a little bit more about us and explain about what we do at College Park and the things that we believe. So we appreciate you being here this morning. One of the best things that we do at College Park is when we gather together to worship God in spirit and in truth. We do that every Sunday morning at this particular time. And we begin that by joining, we feel like we join our hearts and our voices and our minds together in this act of worship. And we begin that every Sunday morning with our invitation to share in worship. This is a responsive reading that you will find in your bulletin. This morning's comes from Psalm 117. I invite you to stand now for an invitation to share in worship. I invite you to read the dark print as I read the light print. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples.
For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord.
You may be seated. Let's pray together. Sometimes, Father, when we gather in this place, we're not always sure why we are here. We have so many other things on our minds and things happening in our lives that we're so busy, but something deep within us calls us to this place. We know we need to be here. We know it is right for us to be in this place. So, Father, in the stillness of this moment, we invite you into this sanctuary. We know that you are God and that you are alive and well, and you have something for us this morning. But it's our choice It's our choice what we get out of this morning. Will we listen? And will we participate? And will we seek you? That's what we want. That's why we are here. We need to hear a word from you. Speak, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.
Celebrate, for this is the day. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord.
Let us make a joy.
as we experience together the ministry of God's Word through the reading of Scripture, I invite you to share and read as I share aloud, first from the Old Testament in the book of Job, as printed in your order of worship. I'll be reading the first verse of the book of Job, 1:1, and then the first 10 verses of chapter 2. I invite you to read along in your Bible, or if you don't have one with you, there should be a pew Bible located close to you. Hear the word of God. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason." "Skin for skin," Satan replied, "a man will give all he has for his own life. But stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." He replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. And also from the New Testament in the book of Hebrews, the first chapter, verses 1 through 4, and verses 5 through 12 of the second chapter. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many different times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified, "What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet at present we do not see everything subject to him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, "I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises." May God bless the reading and understanding of his holy word. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, in this hour of worship, we count it among our innumerable blessings the ability to come to you in prayer on behalf of not only ourselves, but on behalf of the body of Christ and our fellow brothers and sisters. Lord, we come with heavy hearts from losing a dear friend this weekend. We rejoice
that our friend Lucille Cashwell has gone on to be with you. We thank you for her life and her friendship and the way that Lucille, like the many saints that have gone before us to be with you, have touched our lives and blessed us individually and blessed this church. Lord, help our memories to be strong, that we will remember those who have gone before. We'll remember their lives and their spirit and their faithfulness, and that will help encourage us and drive us as we seek to do your will in our individual lives and as the body of Christ at College Park Baptist Church. Lord, many have felt that sense of loss recently in our church. We continue to lift those individuals up, those individuals that are still mourning the loss of family members and loved ones. Continue to surround them with your love. And as their brothers and sisters in Christ, help us to minister to them through fellowship, prayer, and any other way that you might lead us. Lord, we have those among us who are dealing with serious issues right now, health-wise, professionally, and otherwise. Lord, continue to help them to feel your warmth, to feel the kind of peace and joy that only you can provide. Lord, help us to turn to you and not lean on ourselves. Help us to lean on you. And help us to come to you in prayer diligently this week. Help us to lift up this church as it seeks to do your will, seeks to reach others in your name, and seeks to minister for the gospel. Help us to pray for those who are hurting, to lift them up in prayer, because you have told us through Scripture that the prayers of faithful followers of you will be listened to and will be followed. We pray for your will. We know that it is far beyond our understanding, Lord. And even as we seek to understand it through Scripture and prayer, we know that you're in control, and we give thanks for that. Lord, thank you for this church and its people and the kinds of ministries and the kinds of things that the people of this church are trying to do in your name. Lead us, Lord. Lead us every day and every step of the way. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to pray to you on behalf of our brothers and sisters. It is in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
pray with me. Dear Father, we come with thankful hearts because we recognize you as the giver of all things that are good. And so as we come to you in this time of offering back, Father, we recognize you as our source. We are completely dependent upon you. And this is an opportunity to realize that and to symbolically give back to you, Father. We owe you everything, but we give now a portion of what you've given us to be good stewards of so that it can be used for the ministry. We pray that you would bless all that is given, Father, that you would multiply it, and that your ministry would continue here in this community and to the uttermost parts of this earth. These things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This morning we're going to be looking at a very familiar passage of Scripture. I could probably start reading and you could finish most of it. I feel confident that you are familiar with the passage, but we're going to read it anyway. So if you have a copy of God's Word in front of you from Mark chapter 10, and we're going to be reading together. Actually, we'll be reading verses 13 through 16. Mark chapter 10. Verses 13 through 16. We'll be worshiping around the theme of like a little child. And so this morning we'll read, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. And he said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and he blessed them. What a beautiful image of how Jesus treated children, treated his children. When I began my coursework at Wake Forest just a few years ago, I took a course called Religious Development of the Child. And in this course, we learned about how a child begins to understand things, how a child begins to understand abstracts. They move beyond concrete thinking. They began to understand abstract reality. And as they are moving toward abstract thinking, we have a unique opportunity because we can begin to teach them about God in an abstract way. Hopefully, we've already taught them about God as they are concrete thinkers. But now a whole new world opens for them. They can begin to understand the beauty of creation and that there's a creator that created all of this that they see around them. There is a Redeemer who paid the price for whenever they fell short of God's standards. They can understand those concepts. And it's a beautiful thing to see children begin to make those connections. And that's part of our responsibility as a church, is to help children understand those abstract concepts, to grow up and to grow in their understanding. And as a Christian educator and now as a pastor, I've had the joy of watching some of our individual children. Did you see them come out as they were leaving? Just smiles on their face. They were ready to go learn or play or whatever they're going to do. And it's been a joy to watch them grow. It's been a joy to watch them grow into energetic teenagers. And it's been a joy to watch them grow into wonderful young adults. As they've matured, great physical, emotional, spiritual change has taken place in their lives. I've always been amazed at watching them grow and the changes that take place. And most of us at some point have probably been told, "Well, I remember when you were only this high. And my, how you've changed." And that's a good thing. Children are supposed to grow up. They're supposed to change. That's a part of life. And that's not a surprise to any of us. Change is not a surprise. We all change as we mature. As children, I think nearly every single one of us, except maybe Peter Pan, really wanted to change and thought growing up would be a wonderful thing, a fascinating adventure. I think probably all of us at some time have said, you know, when I'm big, I'll get to ride my bicycle down to my friend's house. Or, you know, when I'm grown up, people won't be able to tell me what to do anymore. Boy, that was a shocker when it hit you. When I grow up, nobody can tell me what to do. Or, you know, when I grow up, I'll get to eat chocolate cake for breakfast if I want to. I've said that one. I actually said that one. I can eat chocolate cake for breakfast. Well, I could, but it's not advisable. And though some of us wish that we might could turn back the aging clock, maybe about 10 years or 15 years. We wish maybe we could turn back the aging clock, but I don't think any of us would really want to go back to our childhood. I really don't think we would. Nearly everyone enjoys the change that's taken place in their life as they've grown and matured and become somewhat independent and understood what that means. I did hear of one exception, though. I heard of a lady that as she was approaching her 40th birthday, it was a very sensitive time. And her husband, and he was getting the vibes. He was getting the body language. So being the sensitive creation that all males are, he decided that he was not going to do the black balloons and all of that stuff for the 40th birthday. No, he said, "I'm just going to listen. I'm going to listen. We do that well. And I'm going to listen to her and observe and see what it is that she wants, how I can be a support to her emotionally, just support her." And so he was listening, and one day he overheard a phone conversation that she was having with a friend. And his wife, he caught glimpses of it, but what he was able to glean from that is that she wished she was six again. So he said, I got it. I know what I'm going to do. And so the day of her 40th birthday, he took a half day off work and he called her at noon. He said, honey, I've got a special surprise for you. I'm coming home and I'm going to pick you up and we're going to have a special afternoon and evening. And it kind of piqued her curiosity. And so by the time he picked her up, she's thinking, what's going to happen? And as they drove, she couldn't help but wonder, and they pulled up at a video arcade. And they got out and he said, we're going to play video games. She's going, okay. So they started playing video games. And then a waiter came in and he had a little platform and he served them a special lunch of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and potato chips and Coca-Cola still in the bottles. And from there, they enjoyed an afternoon of video games. And then they decided, well, let's leave now. And so the husband pulled out a roll of bills. And he had $21 bills in there. He said, honey, all 20 of these $1 bills are for you. We're going to the dollar store. And you can buy 20 of anything in there you want. And she's like, oh, okay, all right, sure. And when they finished buying their 20 items at the dollar store, he said, the Dixie Classic Fair is in town. We're going there for supper. And so they went there and they had cotton candy and they had the caramel covered and the candy covered apples and they rode rides and they got sick. It was great. It was great. And they went home and as they came through the door, she just looked at him and said, This was interesting. This was good, I guess. What? I just need an explanation of the kind of the juvenile activity we've been participating in. What prompted all of this? And the husband very proudly said, well, I have to admit the other day I overheard one of your phone conversations and I understood that you just kind of wished that you were six again. So I thought, well, I'll do my little part. And she looked at him and said, you silly doofus, I was talking about my dress size. Adulthood is that thing that we desire. We say we desire to be grown up as children. That's what we want. So how in the world is Jesus able to say, for the kingdom of God belongs to these? I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Shouldn't Jesus be saying something like, oh, they're so cute. They're so cute. I can't wait till they grow up and have a mature faith. Isn't that what he should be saying? But as usual, Jesus takes our concept of what ought to be and turns it completely upside down. It's important. It's critical to note that this passage about the children follows Jesus' teaching on marriage. Jesus had a very high regard for the family. It was the first institution that was created by the Father. Family. And so he has some teaching on the family. He had a very high regard, much higher than the people of his time, much higher than we have now. And he's saying family is important. Family ties are important. Don't break those unless it's just absolutely necessary. It's important. So right on the heels of this discussion, we have a story about children who are brought to Jesus for blessing. And we understand that the disciples rebuked them. Now, who is them? Who is they? We don't really know. We really don't know in this story. We don't know whether the rebuke was for the adults bringing the children or whether it was for the children themselves. We don't know. It's not perfectly clear here. But in either case, we know for sure what Jesus' response was. Jesus' response was, he was indignant. That's strong language. When the Son of God becomes indignant, pay attention. You see, he responded by declaring that no child should be hindered in such a way. And then he does something even more surprising. He holds these children up as examples of how we should approach and receive the kingdom of God. Now, stop for a minute. That you may think, well, okay, sure. That's new information. Because in this day and time, children had no social standing whatsoever. And so for Jesus to hold them up is the example of how you receive the kingdom of God. That was inflammatory, to say the least. It was revolutionary. So what's going on? It may be hard for us to imagine children as examples, because usually we look at children and we say, look at those fine young people. They sit on the front rows down there. They're great role models. Look up to them. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a wonderful thing. Or we may say, look at your Sunday school teachers. What wonderful role models. We generally don't say, why? Look at those children. We ought to be more like them. But children are wonderful. They're fun. They're loving. They're fun-loving. They're creative. They're fresh. All of those things. But children are also petty, argumentative, constant need of supervision, correction, and guidance. So is Jesus saying, that's what you need to be like? You need to be petty and argumentative. No. No, that's not what he's saying. I believe that the answer in what Jesus is saying here can be found in the very thing that we try to work our way out of as we grow up. And that is dependence. We try to become independent. Every child longs to do things on their own, to make their own decisions, to eat chocolate cake for breakfast if they want to. From the time that we learn the N word, no. From the time we learn that, we exercise it as frequently as we can. No. Just to show I'm independent. I can make that decision if I want to. As teenagers, you have to wrestle with that reality that you got to ask mom and dad if you want to go to this movie or that place or the other place. Sometimes they're not going to let you stay out as long as you want to. They're not being mean. Most of the time, they're helping you to wrestle with what it means to be independent. We begin striving to be financially independent from our parents. We begin to detach emotionally, thinking that's what it means to grow up. Becoming independent adults means breaking away and making our own way, so we think. But Jesus wants us to know an important truth. He says we should have childlike faith. Not childish faith. Childish faith is petty and argumentative. Childlike faith is trusting. To be childlike in our faith is to recognize a spiritual truth, and that is we are dependent upon God. Just as a child is dependent upon us as parents for their emotional well-being, for food, for shelter, for love, all of those things, we are dependent upon God whether we want to recognize it or not. And see, the more that we're conscious of our dependence upon God, the more we understand what it means to have childlike faith. We're dependent upon God for everything. For the next beat of our heart. For our next breath. For love. For redemption. It's not that God calls us to be dependent. We're already dependent. What God is saying is He wants us to recognize our dependence. That's what it means to have faith like a child. What kind of difference would it make if we could do that? If we could really recognize our dependence upon God How would that change our interaction with one another? How would that change our worship? How would that change our service on a daily basis? Think about that. To fully recognize our dependence upon God for everything. You see, in 21st century America, we've been sold a bill of goods. And it's a lie. The lie is this. All of this affluence, all of this stuff, all of this influence that we've achieved, we've done that. It's all about us. We're that good. That's the lie. You see, and a lot of times it takes a tragedy either placed upon our country, circumstances out of our control, placed within our personal lives, for us to realize we are dependent. We're completely dependent upon God. In America, the land of plenty, the land where we have "In God We Trust" proudly printed on our capital gains, I doubt that we really are. I doubt that we really completely trust God. I doubt that we really recognize Him as the source of all that we have. In the land where politicians are not afraid to say, "God bless America," I'm afraid that we sometimes don't recognize that God really has blessed us individually, but that we are completely dependent upon Him. We are completely dependent. We may have a stronger need to confess that and to admit that now than any time in our history. That's when we learn, when we are recognizing that we are dependent upon God, is when we have the kingdom of God like a little child. When we have faith like a little child. And God says, "That's how I want you to receive the kingdom, as these beautiful children. Childlike, not childish." Let's pray together. Dear Father, we confess that most of the time we feel like that all we have, we've worked hard for. But Father, we come now and we approach your throne and we confess the sin of pride. And Father, we acknowledge you as the giver of all that we have. Father, we pray that in the quietness of this moment, that you would hear our hearts, that you would hear our confession, and Father, that you would forgive us. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, how he taught us, how he showed us by example. And we thank you for this beautiful story in your word that teaches us an important truth about what it means to have faith like a child. We pray that we would learn and learn well, and that it would change the way that we approach life, that we approach each other, and that we would, as we approach the work of your kingdom, that we would recognize and realize that we are completely dependent upon you. Father, we thank you for this group of believers, and we thank you that we're able to serve together. And we pray now that as we come into a time of decision, that you would touch our hearts and move us, and that we would open our hearts to the Holy Spirit for direction and correction. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. This morning, as we've worshiped together, hopefully God has had a chance to speak to you and you've listened. And as we come into a time of decision, if you are not a believer, if you don't know what it means to receive Christ and to live in independence upon Him, we want to give you an opportunity to hear about that. If you would like to, come forward, and I'll be glad to share with you what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're a believer and maybe you've been kind of doing things under your own power and under your own strength, I want to give you an opportunity if you would like to have a word publicly, or if you would like to come and kneel here and pray. You can certainly do that at your seat as well, whichever you feel most comfortable with. For those who would like to maybe come and pray, pray that the Holy Spirit would be free to move in this place. We want to invite you to the altar. If you are interested in an opportunity to serve with us as part of this church body, we want to give you an opportunity to come, and we receive members in many ways, and I'll be glad to share those with you. Whatever your decision is, we will invite you to make that as we stand and sing together. Invite you to remain standing while I introduce to you Mike Knuckles. Mike, come on up, buddy. Mike is coming this morning on transfer of letter, and he has been a part of this congregation for many months now and involved in Sunday school. If you were here several Wednesday nights ago, you heard him share about some mission work that he's been involved with in the Ukraine, and he's already at work and a part of this congregation, but this morning he comes letting you know he wants to make it official. If you will pray for him and support him, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
Mike, it's good to have you, buddy. I want to invite all of you as you leave today, if you would come by and speak a word of encouragement to him. I know the Koinonia class, he's pretty involved in their activities, and if there's some of them maybe want to come stand with him, we invite you to come do that. Let's bow our heads now for a benediction from God's Word. From Romans chapter 15, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing,
so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.